Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson.
Good morning.
Munching.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Reggie. We're your hosts, and we are currently in the wonderful, wonderful study of the ascension process. We're laying the groundwork and really trying to understand what is ascension, how do we get it. And I've entitled this series, The Path to Enlightenment. And, you know, if the question is, can we reach enlightenment, a state of enlightenment in this lifetime?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. And this book is written by Joshua David Stone. It's called The Complete Ascension Manual, How to Achieve Ascension in This Lifetime.
Right.
So, and he has started the book out, I think, where everything should start, at the beginning, telling you how you were created. And you know, we always say that there's a divine essence in you. He really breaks it down why we say that there's a divine essence in you. Because in the beginning, you were created, you were a spark that was pushed out from the source energy, that which we call God. And you are one of the lights, one of the sparks. Your soul is one of the sparks that came out. The creation story from this book, it really kind of, it pieces it together. I mean, if you read the creation story in the Bible, and then you go back and you read this, and there are so many other esoteric books that talk about the creation, how the source of where we come from, you can begin to pull the thread together. What Joshua Stone says is that he loves to do research, or let me say he did love to do research, and he pulled this book together, assembled this book and all of this information based on his research. So he's read a lot of the esoteric books to give us this information. It's really powerful, and I can tell you the reason I'm so thrilled about going through this book is because I've read so many of the esoteric teachings, and I can see where he has pulled all of his information from and has woven together these stories to give you a clear picture of who you really are and some of the things that have happened in the past. We left off. I left you on a cliff last week. I didn't mean to, but I did, because we were talking about the Atlantis period and the Lemurian period, and I left off getting ready to tell you about how after they destroyed Atlantis and they migrated to Egypt, and that's what we're going to pick up this morning, and then we're going to go into chapter 2, so we don't have that much. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie, aren't you enjoying this?
I am. It's really amazing.
Isn't it amazing? I'm telling you, I just get goosebumps. I can't wait to get into it, and sometimes I don't like to read too far ahead because I like the excitement of discovering it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I get confused. Did I tell them that already? Because I read ahead, so I have to kind of pace myself. Take us into our morning prayer, okay?
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here and so grateful to be alive.
Amen.
And so grateful to understand and appreciate what life really is. Let us be here with the energized, activated souls that we are. To understand everything, every path to enlightenment that you bestow on us. Let's enjoy the simple things in life, the smell of the flowers, the fresh air, the rain, the elements, and all of nature, which we are a part of. Let us understand your divine intelligence works through everything, including us. Let us walk the path laid out for us by the Holy Spirit to total enlightenment and total peace and total prosperity and total value of who we are. Let us never undervalue ourselves. With you in us, how can we be devalued? Thank you, Father, for the power that we have, which we hardly even use, and the common sense and the knowledge and most of all, the wisdom and the love. Let us share it with the world. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. You know, as you were saying that prayer, it's really interesting. I was having thoughts about the reality, the truth that we are a part of God. I had this image of taking a step forward as man, as human, taking a step forward, and with every step knowing that, oh my goodness, I am a part of God.
Yes.
Whoa. You know, the words seem so inadequate to explain the depth of that truth.
That's right.
You guys, wake up this morning, okay? Just wake up. Come on, call in, wake up. That is, and if you're with me right now, just take a deep breath and just really marinate in the truth that you are God. And if you're not comfortable saying that, that you are a part of God. That energy is in you. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for you? And it was so interesting that I was contemplating that your prayer went in that direction.
Mm.
Let us walk in the knowledge and the power. Because, see, we give in to all the life's drama from the place of personality. You should be able to look at that drama and all the whatever situation you're in and say, laugh at it. Oh, this is my entertainment. That's your reality TV. You know, you watch reality TV and it's just entertainment. The drama in your life is your reality TV. It's entertainment. Why can I say that? Because if you move in the truth of who you really are, what could that drama really do to you? Absolutely nothing. It's just entertainment.
Okay.
All righty. I just couldn't help it. I was in your prayer, Dr. Reggie, and it came forth. So we were talking about Egypt and what happened. Now, he tells us that Edgar Cayce said that there is a great initiate who is now living on the planet by the name of John of Peniel, who is the reincarnation of John the Beloved and a disciple of Christ. And so that's right now. I don't know if it has been revealed. Someone Google it and tell me. But that this person will travel to Egypt and release all of the records that are in the Hall of Records. All of the secrets of Atlantis are stored in the Hall of Records in the Great Pyramid. So we are still waiting for that to come forth. In the exodus from Atlantis to Egypt, they took with them a great spiritual teacher whose name was Thoth. Now, the Emerald Tablets have been released, and I'm wondering if it's the Emerald Tablets that, and that's a beautiful, beautiful book. Thoth wrote them, and I shared with you last week how Thoth talks about he lived for thousands of years and that he would go. He talks about the ascension process, the way they were doing it at that time. They did not leave their bodies. They left their bodies spiritually and rejuvenated their bodies and then came back and re-inhabited the body. So it's very fascinating when you read the Emerald Temple. I mean, the Emerald Tablet. You can Google it. It's not the easiest of reads because of the language, but you can get the gist of it. So he says, for several thousand years, Thoth was incarnated in Egypt, which was a civilization of great spirituality. The pyramids were actually temples of initiation. And in the Emerald Tablets, Thoth tells how the pyramids were built over these paths that went down into the earth for the ascension. These chambers that are underneath the pyramid. So it's really fascinating. Viwamuth has said that Egyptian history lasted as long as 100,000 years, not just the 4 or 5,000 years that modern historians speak of. Egypt had a great deal of extraterrestrial involvement. The concept of the pyramid came from other planets. The Egyptian civilization was the blending of consciousness from several other planets. Plato has referred to the thinking of Atlantis in his writings. It is quite amazing to me that our modern history books are so limited in their scope. I mean, Edgar Cayce predicted that Atlantis would rise again and emerge off the eastern coast of the United States around 1968 or 1969. The Bahama Islands are remnants of the peaks of Posadia, one of the islands that was left after the second Atlantean earthquake. And divers have actually found temples and ruins 60 feet below the water in 1968, just as Cayce had predicted.
True.
So the Bermuda Triangle, according to three different sources of information that I have found in my research, is actually a great crystal, and this great crystal was the one that sunk of the Atlantis, and it fell down into the bottom of the ocean. It sunk to the bottom of the ocean, and at certain times when the sun shines upon the ocean floor at just the right angle in relationship to the moon, this great crystal is activated, and anything that passes through the energy vortex during this activation is turned into antimatter. It just totally disintegrates.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the Bermuda Triangle effects occur only on specialized occasions and not all the time. The United States is now going through a testing period. This is very similar to that of Atlantis 50,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is whether our development of science and technology is going to cause us to lose sight of our true reason for being here, which is a more spiritual one. I love technology. I will say that. I absolutely love it. I am so excited to be living in this time where there's so many technological developments.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very aware that my spiritual growth is number one. My spiritual development is number one. In this chapter, he goes on to talk to explain what a cosmic day is and the creation of the planet Earth. You know, in the Bible, it talks about that God created this place, Earth, in 7 days. Well, what is 7 days in the source energy, but to source energy, or that which we call God? Let's see what he says.
The Bible says 1,000 years.
Okay. So he says that he was doing research and focusing on the creation of human life on this planet. But you have to get an understanding of the meaning of the cosmic day, or a day in the life of Brahma, which is God. One day in the life of Brahma, which equals and means God, equals 4,320,000,000 years.
That's outrageous.
One day.
Ooh.
One night in the life of God equals 4,320,000,000 years. So that we're talking about a 124-hour day in the life of Brahma, equaling and meaning God, equals 8,640,000,000 years.
Jeez.
Dr. Rich said, jeez. That's a lot of time.
It sure is.
100 years constitute the whole period of Brahma's age, Mahakalpa. 311,040,000,000,000 years.
Oh my God.
I mean, the numbers are phenomenal. The numbers are phenomenal. All right. He says that 364 days make up 1 year of Brahma, and that equals 3,110,400,000,000 years. I cannot even begin to wrap my head around that.
Oh my gosh, I know. Amazing.
Now, we've come across the term monad. Dwajgul said that God created 60,000 million monads in our planetary system. That's that spark of divinity that I was saying, asking mm-hmm. you to contemplate this morning. That spark of divinity is a monad, and that monad is responsible for creating souls, okay? So each monad has 12 souls. It creates 12 souls. And we've talked about you having these 12 souls that are in different dimensions simultaneously, all right? And each soul creates 12 soul extensions or incarnated personalities. So multiply 60,000 million times 144, and you have the number of people working through this school. Look at this. Now, you know they talk about, in the Bible, they talk about only 144,000 people are going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the 144,000 come from? 144. It's coming from 1,000 monads, I think, at this point, that have created all of these souls. Because it's basically one monad has 144 souls that it created.
Yes.
So that's that number there. That's the only thing about it. Go do some research on it. Let me know what you find. Dwajgul says that of these 60,000 million monads, 35,000 million monads are of the second ray of love. 20,000 million monads are of activity or the third ray, and 5,000 million are of power or the first ray. So look at that. He's talking about the first ray, the second ray, and the fifth ray. And he gives some other little interesting numbers that can be overwhelming. But the bottom line, when he's saying this, is look, we've got plenty of time. You know, to us, these numbers is equivalent to us to an eternity, really. But we have plenty of time to work through our and develop our soul and ascend, if not in this lifetime, in another. So the earth may change and evolve, but it's not ending. And life on it is not ending.
That's right.
Okay. We're going into chapter 2 this morning. We're going to talk about the monad, really get a better understanding of the monad, the soul, and the personality. We spent a lot of time dealing with the negative ego and understanding personality and soul. And so it's nice to kind of blend these all together. Then he opens the chapter with a quote from the channeled work of Alice Bailey. This is the master Dwajgul speaking through Alice Bailey. He says that, and we just stated this, there are 60,000 million monads working through our planetary system. So in the beginning, God created sons and daughters in the spiritual state. He created what are esoterically called monads, or individualized spiritual sparks of the Creator. And it is the monad that has been called the I Am Presence. That was our first core intelligence and our first individualized identity. This divine spark is also called spirit, is our true identity. That's why I was asking you this morning, focus on that truth. The monad, or this spiritual spark, it decided with its free choice that it wanted to experience a denser form of the material universe than it was living in. So each of our monads, with the power of its mind, created 12 souls. And it is through the monad, it is though the monad puts down 12 fingers of fire. And at the end of each finger are the 12 individualized souls. And each soul is a smaller and partial representation of its creator, the monad. So the soul has been referred to as the higher self, the superconscious mind, and the higher mind. What we have here so far is that God created infinite numbers of monads, or spiritual sparks, and each monad then created 12 souls to experience a denser form of matter than previously experienced, and then each soul then desiring to experience an even denser form of the material universe, created 12 personalities, or soul extensions, who incarnated into the densest material universe. We on Earth are personality, our soul extensions of our soul. Just as our soul is an extension of a greater consciousness, which is our monad is an extension of an even greater consciousness, which is God, the Godhead, the Father and Mother of all creation. So each of us here on Earth has a soul family, so to speak, of 11 other soul extensions. Are you guys understanding that?
Yes, it's wild. Amazing.
And then the 11 other soul extensions could be incarnated on the Earth or on some other planet in God's infinite universe. But our other soul extensions could also not be incarnated in physical body at this time, but could be existing on one of the other spiritual planes of existence. So our 11 other soul extensions or personalities could be looked at as our immediate soul family. Extending this metaphor even further, we also then have an extended monadic family, because each of us has 12 in our soul group and 144 in our monadic group.
That's mind-blowing.
It really is.
Because, you know, it makes me think about things like people talk about alternate history. Oh, my God, she was abducted by aliens, and they have documented proof about these things. But what happens is they're going back to the soul family that was calling them in the first place. No matter what planet it's from, or planetary system,
mm-hmm.
or galaxy it's from, they are still an extension of their soul family.
Mm.
And it's not scary at all. It's about reclaiming what belongs to them in their whole system. So it's amazing to me. It really is.
So here, the Ascended Master, Dwash Kool, has stated that there are 60,000 million monads working through our earthly planetary system.
Wow.
If we multiply that 60,000 million by 144, we have the number of soul extensions or personalities involved in the process of reincarnation on this planet.
It's amazing.
The numbers are overwhelming. They are absolutely overwhelming. And just your own family is 144. Is 144. Isn't that something? So here's a personal story. To make the understanding of the monad, the soul, and the personality even easier to understand, I would like to share my own experience as to how this theory has related to my personal evolution as a soul. In my research into how this all related to myself, I found out that of my particular soul group, four of my soul extensions were still in incarnation, and eight others were back on the inner plane. Of the four still in incarnation, I was the only soul extension still on Earth. One of my soul extensions was a female in the Pleiades, and two others were on planets in this galaxy whose name I had never heard of. So in respect to my 144 soul extensions, three-quarters of them were no longer in incarnation, and one-quarter were still incarnated in the material universe. So when one achieves certain levels of initiation, it is a common practice for the soul to begin to call some of its soul extensions back to the spiritual world.
That's right.
Okay, Dr. Reggie.
I know. I tell you, I know.
And the soul extensions could be looked at as businesses. Let's say that four of them were doing really well in Los Angeles, Tokyo, Paris, and Brussels. And the other eight were losing money. A good business person might not close down eight businesses that weren't doing well and channel all of his resources. He might close them down and then channel all of his resources into the four businesses that were very active and successful financially. This metaphor is exactly how the soul looks at its 12 soul extensions. The 12 soul extensions are all working for the evolution of the soul, just as the 10 fingers on your hand are working for your physical body. So in my case, four of my soul extensions were more active and successful, spiritually speaking. So the other eight soul extensions have been called back to soul and are channeling their resources into the four successful spiritual businesses, so to speak. Are you guys getting that? I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing is going on in the larger context of my 144 soul extensions. All of my 12 souls are at a stage of spiritual evolution and initiation where all resources are being channeled into the successful soul extensions. Just as the fingers on your hand don't compete with each other and all work for the same goal, ideally all soul extensions work for the evolution of the soul and later of the monad. So, to make my personal story even a little more interesting, I was told by Ascended Master Dwaj Kuu that I was an oversoul or a teacher for the other soul extensions of my soul group. And because of my dedication to my spiritual path, my other soul extensions on the inner plane have been greatly helped by my presence and consciousness. And at the time I heard this, it was news to me because I had no conscious recollection of my contact and involvement with my other soul extensions. So a lot of this involvement occurs on the inner plane while we sleep. So Dwaj Kuu also told me that there was some codependency going on.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it because I saw myself as one of the least codependent people I had ever met. But Dwaj told me that I was not codependent with people on the planet Earth, but rather with my other soul extensions. In other words, I was running their karma through my physical body. Isn't this fascinating? This is absolutely fascinating. So, Dwaj Gul told me that the spiritual hierarchy and Great White Brotherhood wanted me to use this physical body for service and not run it down by taking on too much karma from my other soul extensions as a service for them. I knew intuitively that what he was saying was true, and in my zeal for spiritual growth, I had a total knowingness that I had consciously been doing this, and I immediately told my other soul extensions that I loved them, but that the buck stopped there, and that they would have to be in charge of discharging and releasing their own karma from now on, and I set the appropriate boundaries. On the one last fascinating story that relates to this whole process is the story of how I met my wife, Terry. About 2 years ago, a friend of mine told me about a day-long workshop called the Monadic Anchoring. All the information she had about it was this title. I had always been incredibly intrigued by the concept of the monad, but I found it almost impossible to find information about it. And when I heard the word monad, I said to myself, oh, yeah, I'm going. Here's this seminar. And upon arriving at the seminar, I found to my great surprise that Terry was channeling Dwaj Gul. And synchronistically, I had just begun rereading all of the Alice Bailey books which Dwaj Gul wrote. And I was very impressed with her channeling. And the workshop had to do with a special process which the Great White Brotherhood was doing in 144 groups around the country of anchoring the monad into the physical body. There's that number again, 144. I wonder how many groups. Was it 1,000 groups? So this had never been done before and was kind of an experiment which the hierarchy was doing to see the effect. And the workshop was very powerful, and at the end of it, I went up to Terry, and I asked her if she ever did private channeled readings with people. And so Terry lived in Alabama and said she would be happy to do some readings for me over the phone. To make a long story short, I worked with Terry professionally for a period of time, and I was intensely studying the Alice Bailey material, and I would ask Dwaj a lot of questions concerning this most advanced material. It was during this time that Terry and I started to have dreams about each other in which we were involved romantically, and we both were not looking for a relationship. However, the dreams kept coming, and we finally decided to check it out. Lo and behold, I love these spiritual love story when they put you match you together. It was a match made in heaven. And that is the most powerful relationship you can have when your mate is a match made in heaven. And I shared with you guys our story, so I totally understand where they're coming from. And oh my goodness, the energy that flows between you and the knowledge that is downloaded into you at the time is phenomenal, because they are using you to minister to others, to get the word out. And you as a couple have to be equally yoked for that to happen. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know all of this at the time, but the feeling that I had was just unbelievable joy. I cannot express it. I'm telling you, wait for God to find your mate. Wait for the mate. Approximately 3 or 4 weeks after our initial super profound bonding, I had a dream one night. And in the dream, Dwaj Gul was talking to me, and he told me that Terry and I come from the same monad. And upon waking from the dream, I was amazed, for that is the way I have felt inwardly. But it was such a confirmation to get this occult piece of information so clearly. And I immediately called Terry in Alabama. And we confirmed this fact with Dwaj Gul also through her channeling. So we later did some deeper exploration of this. And we were also told that Terry and I were the only soul extensions from our monad on planet Earth. So in other words, all the other one quarter soul extensions of our 144 were incarnated on other planets. And a whole cluster of them, apparently, were in the Pleiades. So Terry and I, not from the same soul, but from the same monad, Terry is one of my other 144 soul extensions. So we are what you might term as a monadic mate. And what was also so remarkable was that we had initially met at the anchoring of the monad workshop. Isn't that a beautiful story? I just love that.
That's a wonderful thing because years ago, before his passing, I talked to Terry on the phone
That's
in California.
That's right, because they were looking for someone to take over his work.
Yes, and it was really amazing to me because I was honored by that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, intrigued at how wonderful she was on the phone as a sweet person. So, and they both were very sweet people. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I did talk to her, you know, while he passed and gone. But she was a very interesting person. She really is, and a very loving spirit. And she really did love him. I could tell, even over the phone, without knowing her in person. Oh, my God, it was just amazing.
You know, we need to reach out to her. It would be wonderful to have her come on and talk to you guys about his work and what he, you know. So let's make that arrangement.
Okay,
can
we
you
will.
Reach out to him?
I will.
Okay. So the 7C, you guys don't really know who Dr. Renji is, do you guys? I try to hint to it a lot, but Dr. Renji is really something. And I'm very grateful he's in my life. So I don't want to get too far into this because it gets a little heady, but it doesn't. We don't have that much to cover. I'm going to try to move through it quickly. He's talking about the seven planes of our solar system. Again, he's trying to get you to see the bigger picture of your the universe around you and how you are a part of it. You're not separate from this. Our solar system is made up of seven planes or dimensions of reality. And they are very dense, or on the very densest level, we have the physical plane. But above that, there's the astral or the emotional plane. And then above that, the mental plane. And above that, the buddhic or the intuitional plane. Above that, the atmic or the spiritual plane. Mm. Above that, still the monadic plane. And finally, the divine or the logoic plane. So in the process of evolution and initiation, it is necessary for you to master and evolve these planes. So on the our monad is anchored in the second plane downward, which is the monadic plane. The soul is anchored two planes downward into the buddhic plane. And lastly, of course, the soul extension or personality is anchored in the seventh plane, which is the dense physical plane. Now, there are also the seven dimensions that we've talked about. And so the seven dimensions are the seven planes of this solar system. Mm. There are, however, seven cosmic planes as well. And each of those planes, I have mentioned, as has a cosmic counterpart. In other words, there is a cosmic physical plane, a cosmic astral plane, a cosmic mental plane, a cosmic buddhic plane, a cosmic atmic plane, a cosmic monadic plane, and a cosmic logoic plane. So the seven planes of our solar system are the seven subplanes of the cosmic physical plane. In other words, once we evolve through these seven subplanes, then we will have completed just the cosmic physical plane. And then we eventually evolve through the six higher cosmic planes. So the ascended masters that we have such enormous respect for are really only masters of the cosmic physical plane. They have not really even begun their cosmic evolution yet. And this is in no way meant to as a criticism, but rather as a statement showing the incredible vastness and the magnitude of God's creation. So, you know, a lot of people say, I can't wait to get out of here. I'm tired of going through all of this stuff right here. And, you know, I'll be glad to get rid of this lifetime. But, baby, you are going to be learning for eternity. For an eternity.
What amazes me when people say things like that? You can't handle this lifetime. How are you going to handle the next one? It's a level up. How are you going to handle that?
Exactly.
It blows my mind how they say, you're tired of it. I don't want to live anymore and all that nonsense. And then they have to go through a whole process.
Yeah.
To deal with it.
Yeah.
You're equipping yourself to handle it now.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing to me.
So, Bywamas has said that the spiritual path can be likened to a 10-inch ruler. The ascended masters, such as Jesus, Buddha, Saint Germain, Kuthumi, Lord Maitreya, El Morya, and so on, they have attained only 1 inch on this 10-inch ruler. As these great souls continue to evolve, they will eventually leave this planetary system and move on to their cosmic evolution.
Mm-hmm.
But we here on Earth will continue to evolve and ascend and take their places in the spiritual hierarchy. We are all destined to evolve back to the cosmic logoic plane or back to the Godhead on cosmic level.
Right.
Bywamas has termed this state of consciousness the creator level. So the spiritual constitution of man, he breaks this down for us and says that we're divided into three levels. There's the monad, which is the spirit, the mighty I am presence, the Father in heaven. And then there are the three aspects of the monad, which are the will or power, which is the Father principle, the love and wisdom, which is the Son principle, and the active intelligence, which is the Holy Spirit principle. A lot of times you will hear me say, the Holy Spirit, you know, I feel the Holy Spirit. That is the active intelligence. When I'm talking, I know that it is the Holy Spirit. I get a heat that comes over me that's just amazing. And I know that that active intelligence is activated in me at that time. Oh, my goodness. We have 90 seconds to go. I can't get through all of this.
Put a marker.
I'll put a marker on it. We'll pick up tomorrow. I think this is so important. If I knew that you all were very good, and you are, and you were buying the book, it would really help because I think you need to see this in writing. So please buy the book. Order it on Amazon, The Complete Ascension Manual, because we're going to be going through this. This is a workbook. All of the books that we're doing right now are workbooks. You need them. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson. A lesson in truth and a divine path. Let us understand and follow this path for our own ascension and love. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. I love you. See you tomorrow. Pick up the study. It's fun.
It really is. Very fascinating.